You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm your host and guide on this journey through finance, economics, and politics. Remember, you can get today's podcast on iTunes by typing in Engage with Andy Bush after you download the free podcast app. If you like more information on today's show and its guests, please visit andrewbush.com or follow me on Twitter at ABUSBH. Okay, in this segment, it's very loud where our guest is, but we're going to do it anyway. In this segment, we'll cover what's happening in Congress with the Ex-Im Bank, a trade bill, and highway funding. So joining us to discuss this is the rambunctious and ever-present Kevin Cirilli from The Hill. Kevin writes the overnight finance blog for The Hill, and you can follow him on Twitter at Kev, K-E-V, Cirilli, C-I-R-I-L-L-I. Kevin, welcome to Engage.
Well, I like the introduction. I really like being described as rambunctious. I think a lot of my sources would agree with that.
I think
and
it's
my family.
Yeah, and your family. Probably your parents and a few other people. So,
yeah, exactly.
Well, hey, let's dive into this. This is a couple of topics you've been covering for quite some time, so I'd love to pick your brain on this. Ex-Im Bank and the TPA, it seems that both of these things are moving slowly ahead, maybe not so slowly. But let's start with the Trade Promotion Authority. Walk us through what's happened this week so far and where this thing's going.
Well, so as you know, last week the House finally approved Fast Track, and or TPA. And basically what Fast Track does is it expands President Obama's powers to negotiate trade deals. And he has been negotiating, Andy, this 12-country trade deal with the leaders of 12 other nations that would essentially set the rules for trade and international trade. It's like one of the biggest trade agreements that we've seen in decades. It's super, super important. And so in order to do that, he wants to negotiate this deal on his own and take a deal and be able to just have Congress approve it without adding any amendments. Because he's thinking to himself, are you kidding me? I've got to deal with the leaders of 12 countries.
Right.
And then I'm going to have to deal with like this screwed up Congress back home.
So people like Ted Cruz, what?
Or Warren.
Right, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
It just, when you add that into the amendment process, it could really stall it. So what he's looking for is to say, hey, wait a minute, Congress, trust me on this deal. We're working real hard on it. I'm going to give you the deal, but let's not do any amendments because then we can just get this done for all 12 countries. So it's called Fast Track. So how, obviously there are folks in the Republican Party and his own party that are a little bit nervous about this. They don't want to expand President Obama's powers, and unions in particular and liberals are concerned that this type of deal would, you know, be too beneficial to big business and not enough to unions.
Right.
So he was in like this really contentious fight. At the end of the day, he got it done in the House. He also got it done in the Senate. And he's poised, well, any hour now. And he's poised for really a major victory on this because it truly is one of the rare issues where he's been able to work with people like Representative Paul Ryan, who, Andy, I got to tell you, really came through big in rallying the Tea Party for the president and delivered a lot of key votes. So a huge, huge victory. The bottom line is this is a bipartisan trade agreement. It's something that really upset a lot of labor unions. It really showed the clout of the labor unions. It had Hillary Clinton weighing in saying she would have voted against it, which is very interesting, given how moderate her husband, President Clinton, was.
Right.
And it shows the divide between the Tea Party, obviously, and establishment Republicans as well.
Well, you know what's interesting to me, and I'm still astonished that this occurred, that in the House, the way they passed this thing is they separated Trade Adjustment Authority and Trade Promotion Authority. And so in the vote, like, it was very contentious. So they shot down TAA, which is the key thing that normally you would get for the Democrats to join on to the TPA. And they passed it, just the TPA standalone. And so they sent that back to the Senate. To me, this is astonishing that Democrats, I don't know, fell for that, because this is something conservative Republicans have wanted for a long time, is to separate those two, because they don't necessarily believe in the TAA, Trade Adjustment Authority. So the Democrats that are voting in the Senate positively, and they passed it to have the vote for the TP, TA without the TAA, and I'm sorry I'm using all these acronyms.
No, don't worry about it.
But it cracks me up that they're doing this on the basis that McConnell and Boehner have promised them an additional vote at some point on TAA. It just seems to me, I don't know, maybe I'm stupid, and I've watched Washington D.C. for a long time, but I am just stunned that they did that.
And you know what it's like? It's like if the sports team was trading one of their star players and also one of their draft picks for the first round. And in order to keep the star player, they would get rid of their draft pick. And, like, all the fans would be like, what the heck are you thinking? Obviously, in this analogy, the draft pick is TAA. And what TAA is pretty much a government subsidy program to help workers who have been negatively impacted by trade deals. And as you mentioned, liberals have always been for this, and Republicans have viewed this as a government handout program. But Nancy Pelosi really, really put a lot of her political poker chips on the table and said, listen, all of us liberals love this government subsidy program, but we're going to break it off from this vote. And it was a political strategy move, Andy, because what she decided was that if they were able to get rid of this government subsidy program, they would be able to block expanding the president's powers. So it was a fascinating debate where you had Nancy Pelosi against President Obama.
Right.
Now, I was speaking with a senator yesterday who told me that he still fully expects to have this government subsidy program to be passed as part of another upcoming Africa trade preferences bill called AGOA.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. To see liberals put that on the table was like, oh my God.
it was astonishing. So it blows me away. Now, Nancy Pelosi is not the only person who's doing some interesting things. Of course, Ted Cruz further endeared himself to the Republican Senate colleagues when he switched his position and stated that he would vote to block the bill, the TPA, declaring in a Breitbart.com op-ed that it had become enmeshed in corrupt Washington backroom deal-making. I love it when a Republican senator says that about his own Senate leadership, Mitch McConnell. Those two have to just really hate each other. I just don't see any other way around it.
You know what's even more funny is when you interview these people and you, like, ask them, like, okay, so you really must hate this guy. And they're like, oh, no, we're deep friends. We're deep friends.
Oh, my esteemed colleague, we disagree on this issue.
Like,
and
let's just call a spade a spade. You're right. Senator Ted Cruz has really positioned himself as someone who is one of the dominant leaders of the Tea Party movement. He really has an anti-establishment type of political brand. And really, I think it helped him to appeal to his base. So I'm not in a presidential cycle, but I'm really not sure how much it's going to help him win over moderates. And that type of rhetoric.
Not going to happen. Kevin, I know you watch this stuff all the time, so you're not surprised by the stuff that goes on there. But to me, as an outsider, looking at this for a long time, but I still just, it's astonishing, and it's hilarious that these people can walk the halls together and get anything else done. So, hey,
they don't get that much done.
That's right. Good point. All right, well, let me shift over to Export-Import Bank and the reauthorization there. Obviously, this comes up at the end of June, right? It ends in June or it ends in July?
It ends in June. But they only have, the legislative calendar in the House runs out Friday, so.
Okay. So now the bank seems to be receiving majority support in the Senate. You know, what do you predict here? I mean, it seems like that there's enough to move forward on it, and maybe it's part of a bargaining chip with the TAA and the TPA combined. I don't know all the ins and outs of what's happening there. You'd know better than I do, but do you see a scenario where this thing's going to get passed?
Well, so here's everyone that I talk to, both to oppose the bank's reauthorization on the grounds that they argue it's corporate welfare, cronyism, only helping politically connected businesses like Boeing, which has received two-thirds of the total bank's loan commitments between 2007 and 2013. And that the supporters of the bank, like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the National Association of Manufacturers, these are groups who argue that, hey, wait a minute, when we finance a multi-billion-dollar deal for Boeing, we're sustaining small business jobs across the country through supply chain economics. Mm-hmm. Everyone that I talk to in this debate thinks that the bank's charter will temporarily lapse on June 30th.
Okay.
But they think that in July, you're going to have a situation where there will be an amendment to another legislative bill, such as like a highway transportation funding bill, that would then get the bank reauthorized. You know, I was speaking with the president of the bank, Fred Hochberg, earlier this week, and he told me, Kev, look, there's not going to be like massive layoffs at this bank come July 1st, right? Because the appropriations for the bank, how it gets funded, lasts until September 30th. So
right.
There is a little bit of wiggle room, but I think the fact that people like the House Financial Services Chairman Jeff Hensarling has been able to elevate this issue. Every major presidential candidate has weighed in on the export-import bank, and they're against it, with the exception of Senator Lindsey Graham and Rick Santorum. The fact that you have that shows how serious the Tea Party Koch brother alliance has been able to elevate this issue of cronyism and corporate welfare heading into the cycle.
Interesting. Well, you brought up the highway bill, and so I do want to talk about that. But I have to say, and this is another thing I love about Washington, D.C., I love how there are senators who say they've made this big breakthrough on spending $275 billion over the next, I think, 10 years for the nation's highways. And then they say it's up to the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee to find a way to pay for it. I just love that.
Don't you love that? It's like, here's all of the good news. Here's all of the candy and the dirt that you guys
We did it. We passed it. Now you guys find a way to pay for it, okay?
Let's go to a five star restaurant and get whatever food you want. But oh yeah, here's the tap. You know, it's like sticking someone else with the tap. It's only in Washington. But you're right. And so they've got a deadline also in at the end of July to find this deal. I do expect that there will be a deal reached on this just because of its importance, and there is a lot of bipartisan shift on this issue. But that being said, anytime you attach something like X into this, which is what I foresee happening, that complicates it. I mean, that throws a wrench. And we've seen this routine, Andy, as you know and your audience knows, play out time and time again, where you have these bipartisan ideas that are no-brainers, that are like so simple, just easy layups, and they can't come through because they add something into it that's just controversial. So it's going to be, I got to tell you, this month, when we look at what's happening with the highway bill, with Export-Import Bank on financial services, then you look at everything that's going on in Charleston, then you look at these two major Supreme Court rulings that are coming down,
sure.
July is going to be a pop-in month.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to get anything done from here going forward, especially with the biggest bombshell out there. And I just want to end. We only have a little bit of time left. Let's just talk really quickly about the outlook for SCOTUS on Obamacare. Obviously, King versus Burrell is the key thing, and it comes down to just like six words. I know that in both the Republicans have been holding briefings to their congregations, as it were, on the potential outcome of what's happening. I'm hearing that Democrats are getting very nervous about what the Supreme Court's going to do. What's your take here, Kev?
My take here, Andy, is that I think Republicans are pretty nervous as well, because they've always obviously wanted to repeal Obamacare, but this ruling that they could win on actually could is a portion of Obamacare that most people like. And, of course, that's the subsidies and the subsidized health care. And so this, if you have 34 states that are no longer able to give subsidies on health care, you know, that's a huge, huge issue. And while it cripples the law, a lot of people could lose the most popular benefit of the law, of the health care bill. And so Republicans really have an opportunity to offer an alternative, and we've all been saying this for years, right? A Republican put forth an alternative. What's your alternative? They have a chance to do it, but in a presidential cycle where you have people like, you know, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and the Tea Party versus establishment types who are more moderate like Jeb Bush, you know, finding that consensus in a presidential cycle is very, very tricky. But I got to tell you, I think Representative Paul Ryan, again, has been out front on this,
right,
trying to build consensus. But this is a very tricky issue to navigate for Republicans, simply because of how this is truthfully one of the most popular aspects of it that directly impacts people's bottom lines on their health care bill.
No doubt. It's to me, it's the ultimate Republicans chasing the Obamacare car and catching it. And what are they going to do with it? All right,
exactly.
Kevin Cirilli from TheHill.com, thanks so much for coming on today. I know you're a busy guy, and it's always great to get your perspective.
This is my favorite radio show to do, and I always thank you for having me on. Seriously, I mean, it's so much fun. All right, have a good one, Andy.
All right, Kevin. Time for a break. This is Engage. I'm Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Where is the best place to put your money? Rick Saylor with co-host Eric Hamburg will take the mystery out of investing in order to keep your hard-earned wealth performing and protecting to its maximum potential. Listen for Straight Talk, Clear Decisions, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Rick Saylor, smooth financial sailing for the best part of your life.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.